In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The rich man had a prosperous earthly life. He died and was sent to hell. Lazarus had a miserable earthly life. He died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Why is this so? Our age wants to say that the rich man was probably greedy and got his money through unjust gain, and Lazarus was a victim. And so according to karma and the culture of our age, God is simply righting a wrong. But I think Abraham actually gives us the answer in the text as he speaks to that rich man. Lazarus heard Moses and the prophets in faith. The rich man did not. And so he does not think, that is, the rich man does not think that Moses and the prophets, that is, the word of God, can save anyone from hell or death. So the point of this story is not what happens to the rich or what will happen to the poor, but what will happen to those who hear the word of God in faith. And what will happen to those who do not hear the word of God in faith? So whom are you more like? Not speaking so much outwardly. Outwardly, we're a mixture of both. God has blessed us tremendously just by simply putting us here in this 21st century America. Physically, we may be more like the rich man. Have wonderful foods that we can have whenever we want. Our fridges are stuffed. Our bodies are healthy, not covered in sores. Or perhaps we are more like Lazarus outwardly. Financial strain and distress. Our bodies are beginning to break down and show the signs of their age and of their sin. But either way, that is not the point. It's not who do you look like outwardly, but whose heart do you resemble? Are you like the rich man, where you live for yourself? Or like Lazarus, do you hear the word of God in faith and keep it? So I think we are both. For we have both a fallen flesh and a new man. That fallen flesh is this rich man. We each have that self-absorbed flesh that has quite a high view of itself. Why else would we get angry when a driver cuts us off? Didn't they know that was me behind them? And I have some place to go? But we never give a second thought with the people that we cut off, for we have somewhere else to be. Most people could care less about us. We're not important. We're not influential. We're not the movers and shakers of the world. Most could care less what we think or say about government, culture, or even religion. And yet, in our estimation, we are like this rich man who deserves these fine linens and the best the world has to offer, for we are quite capable, so we think. And so in our dreams, we're always the hero. Always the one saving the day, making the right choice. In our stories, we always come out with a quick, witty response that puts people in their place or gives a good chuckle. Yet our fallen flesh has embellished and exaggerated and tweaked the facts ever so slightly so others might view us in the same light as we view ourselves. Know your sinful flesh well, because daily you strive against it. Daily it seeks to pull you away from Christ. And it knows it will not lead you to go out and commit murder or perhaps even adultery or theft. But if it can just exalt your view of yourself above your view of God, then it has won the day. Pride is a deadly sin. The sinful flesh knows that criminals have no peace, the rude have no friends, the addict has no money. So it doesn't want to riot, commit murder, adultery, or theft. It knows happy wife, happy life, and so it seeks to make wife and kids and friends and workers happy so that it can simply enjoy the life of this earth. But since it views itself as the center of the universe, It can only think of how these other people of wife and kids affect me. How their decisions, how their words affect me, whether good or bad. How policies, governments, news, drivers, and diseases affect me. We all love ourselves, or our sinful flesh loves itself far more than anything else. My happiness must come first according to the flesh. And so it makes everything about me. Someone tells a story and we assume that we are the hero of that story. We pat ourselves on the back, or someone gives us a funny look and we assume that they are saying something mean about us. We must remember that no one really cares too much about us. We're not that important. Now, of course, no one would say such things, but by our reactions and by our responses, we betray our centric self-view. And really, that is the sin of the rich man. He saw no benefit in helping Lazarus, no advantage. It gained him nothing, so why would he do it? And he certainly did not view himself as equal to Lazarus. Lazarus, however, is the new man inside of us, the man of faith. Created by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, faith does not have a high view of itself, but faith has a high view of God and a proper view of itself. For it has heard Moses and the prophets, so it confesses not only the truth about God, but also the truth about me. Faith confesses that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful flesh. The good that we want to do, we have not done. And the evil we do not want to do, this we have kept on doing. So you can put lipstick on a pig. You can dress a sinner up in purple cloths and fine linens and give him great riches. But he remains a sinner. The reality is still the reality. So faith knows that it lies on the ground with a body covered with sinful sores. And unlike your sinful flesh, it does not pass these things off as areas in my life that I'm working on, but it owns those sins. It confesses them. And it lives in repentant faith toward God. No one else made us do that, even if they told us to. It is our fault. Our fault, our own most grievous fault. The street dogs should be our only companions. And so when other sinners try to encourage us and to lift us up by pointing us back to ourselves, faith knows better than to look to itself as a reason for being a good person or for going to heaven. They say, well, you've been a good husband or a faithful wife. Faith knows, not always. You've been kind and generous to others. Again, not always. Surely God is lucky to have you. The church is lucky to have you. Heaven will be a better place with you. Faith knows better than to believe such sentiments. For you have heard Moses and the prophets. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one who does good. Our works cannot salvation gain. And yet all are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So like Lazarus, you have a right view of yourself. You're not the center of this universe, not even of your own life, but Christ is. The Son is the center. And so your eyes of faith are constantly focused on Him and who He is for you. Which means that you constantly hear Moses and the prophets. For in that word of God, a righteousness is revealed apart from any work of the law, a righteousness that is by faith given to those who believe. For Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Faith alone receives the righteousness of Christ, and faith alone then makes us worthy of heaven. For faith claims the death of Christ as my death, and the resurrection of Christ as my resurrection, and it will not let it go. Faith intently listens to the word of God, even though it exposes our sinful sores and our inept works. Faith knows that that word reveals him who was made poor for you and lay in your place, and whose wounds were opened up so that you might have a new name, Lazarus, which means one who has been helped. For we are not the hero of the story, nor do we want to be, for Christ alone is God and Savior. And he is the one who has helped us out of our sins by his death. Or to say it as we normally do, we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. All and any work is excluded. So know which desires come from your sinful flesh and which come from the new man, faith, that dwells in you. For the end of both is clear. There's a great chasm between heaven and hell, and none may cross over from there, from one to the other. It is an eternal fate. For those who desire to live by the fallen flesh, who view themselves as the most important person in the room, will not have the eternal inheritance God has prepared. But those who hear the word of God and keep it, that is, who believe it and then live in accordance with it, they have been made new and are different. God has changed their heart, their soul, their mind, so they desire the very things of God, not earthly things. Then, as St. John writes, they love even as they have been loved. For the God of love abides in them. Love not in the idea of tolerance or acceptance, but love as defined by those Ten Commandments. For that is love. And even though we may be faithful spouses, children, and parents, we still confess that word of God, that none of those works have earned us a place in heaven. We still come here to hear Moses and the prophets, the apostles and the evangelists, for here we hear of a righteousness apart from our works. We still confess that we are Lazarus, that is, we are ones who need to be helped. And our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, as he comes to us in his word to give us himself and his gifts divine. So though we still fight against this rich man, the sinful flesh dwelling in us, it is not who we are. We are saints of God. We are Lazarus, for we have been helped, we have been saved out of our sins by him who died for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.